You have to size things up first. A street con, you can take a man's temperature with a little friendly conversation and a couple of carefully worded suggestions, get the right responses, and bingo, you've bagged a pigeon. A company job is more like what we call a big con. You've got setup to do. Find out what their buttons are, find out what they want, what they need, plan an attack, be patient, do your homework. Figure out the role you're going to play and learn your lines, and don't walk in the door until you're ready. I spent better than 3 weeks getting up to speed for this one. The client gave me a 2-day session in what I should say my company did, and how to describe why it was going to be such a good joint marketing alliance. Then I got lucky. I called the company and said I was from a venture capital firm, and we were interested in setting up a meeting, and I was juggling schedules to find a time when all of our partners would be available sometime in the next couple of months, and was there any time slot I should avoid, any period when Larry wasn't going to be in town? And she said yes, he hadn't had any time off in the 2 years since they started the company, but his wife was dragging him away on a golf vacation the first week in August. That was only 2 weeks away. I could wait. Meanwhile, an industry magazine gave me the name of the firm's PR company. I said I liked the amount of space they were getting for their robotics company client, and I wanted to talk to whoever was handling that account about handling my company. It turned out to be an energetic young lady who liked the idea she might be able to bring in a new account. Over a pricey lunch with one more drink than she really wanted, she did her best to convince me they were oh so good at understanding a client's problems and finding the right PR solutions. I played hard to convince. I needed some details. With a little prodding, by the time the plates were being cleared, she had told me more about the new product and the company's problems than I could have hoped for. The thing went like clockwork. The story about being so embarrassed that the meeting was next week, but I might as well meet the team as long as I'm here, the receptionist swallowed whole. She even felt sorry for me into the bargain. The lunch set me back all of $150, with tip. And I had what I needed, phone numbers, job titles, and one very key guy who believed I was who I said I was. Brian had me fooled, I admit. He seemed like the kind of guy who'd just email me anything I asked for. But he sounded like he was holding back a little when I brought up the subject. It pays to expect the unexpected. That email account in Larry's name, I had it in my back pocket just in case. The Yahoo security people are probably still sitting there waiting for somebody to use the account again so they can trace him. They'll have a long wait. The fat lady has sung. I'm off on another project. Analyzing the con. Anyone who works a face-to-face con has to cloak himself in a look that will make him acceptable to the mark. He'll put himself together one way to appear at the racetrack, another to appear at a local watering hole, still another for an upscale bar at a fancy hotel. It's the same way with industrial espionage. An attack may call for a suit and tie and an expensive briefcase if the spy is posing as an executive of an established firm, a consultant, or a sales rep. On another job, trying to pass as a software engineer, a technical person, or someone from the mailroom, the clothes, the uniform, the whole look, would be different. For infiltrating the company, the man who called himself Rick Daggett knew he had to project an image of confidence and competence, backed by a thorough knowledge of the company's product and industry. Not much difficulty laying his hands on the information he needed to advance. He devised an easy ruse to find out when the CEO would be away. A small challenge, but still not very tough, was finding out enough details about the project that he could sound on the inside about what they were doing. Often this information is known to various company suppliers, as well as investors, venture capitalists they've approached about raising money, their banker, and their law firm. The attacker has to take care, though. Finding someone who will part with insider knowledge can be tricky, but trying two or three sources to turn up someone who could be squeezed for information runs the risk that people will catch on to the game. That way lies danger. The Rick Daggetts of the world need to pick carefully and tread each information path only once. The lunch was another sticky proposition. First, there was the problem of arranging things, so he'd have a few minutes alone with each person, out of earshot of the others. He told Jessica 12:30, but booked the table for 1 p.m., at an upscale expense account type of restaurant. He hoped that would mean they'd have to have drinks at the bar, which is exactly what happened. A perfect opportunity to move around and chat with each individual. Still, there were so many ways that a misstep, a wrong answer, or a careless remark could reveal Rick to be an imposter. Only a supremely confident and wily industrial spy would dare take a chance of exposing himself that way. But years of working the streets as a confidence man had built Rick's abilities and given him the confidence that, even if he made a slip, he'd be able to cover it up well enough to quiet any suspicions. This was the most challenging, most dangerous time of the entire operation, and the elation he felt at bringing off a sting like this made him realize why he didn't have to drive fast cars or skydive or cheat on his wife. He got plenty of excitement just doing his job. How many people, he wondered, could say as much? What leads a group of smart men and women to accept an imposter?